Well, hello, my friend. It's me, your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, with another episode of The Broadway Cast. I have a question for you. It's good to see me, isn't it? You know what that was? That was a clue. And as we wrap up our first season here with iHeartRadio Broadway and look forward to a new year, it is time to pop the bubbly with the effervescent bubble riders of Wicked. I'm talking, of course, about the Galindas, or Galindas, depending on where in the show you are. We had such a swankified time with our Elphaba episode earlier in the season, it seemed very fitting to do a deep dive into one of the most popular characters of modern musical theater. As you're going to learn today, Glinda is a complex challenge for an actor and a Herculean feat for a vocalist. I remember so well being in the rehearsal room and watching Kristen Chenoweth develop Glinda. She was so polished. She had so many tricks up her sleeve. She slayed us all with a toss-toss moment that is pure Chenoweth. Now, here's a fun fact. It was a bit that would have its ramifications, that toss-toss. As our poor darling lady would throw her neck completely out for the bit and go on to perform the role for weeks on end in a hand-bedazzled neck brace. Comedy at all costs. I gotta tell you, it was a wonder that she ever landed on any single moment to cement. There were always so many gut-busting options pouring out of her. I've really rarely seen an actress so ready to be on stage so quickly. Iconic. We wondered back then in the original cast who could ever replace her. Well, the answer is clear that there is a select group of actresses so versatile, so gifted, so hilarious that the gilded Glinda crown would shine on for years to come. Each one of these ladies putting her own stamp on the role. Well, how does one go about winning the role? What makes Glinda tick? And perhaps most importantly, Glinda, is it true you are her friend? Hold for applause. Well, the answer is yes, my friends. Today, I'm totally blissed out to welcome Amanda Jane Cooper, who is immortalized in the Wicked TV commercials, Jenna Claire Mason, fresh off her star turn in Hallmark's A Christmas Spectacular, and Brittany Johnson, who has broken barriers and made history as the first Black actress to play Glinda on Broadway. Today, they're going to spill the pink tea on backstage Glinda rituals and so much more. So what? Maybe we can't all come and go by bubble, but they can and do and have. So I say thank goodness that today we're getting our Glinda on. Now, before we meet these ladies, I want to remind you to subscribe to the show. We don't want you to miss an episode. Follow us on social media at The Broadway Cast. Follow me personally at Ben Does Broadway. And if you'd like to support us even further, you can do so on Patreon. You can support us on Patreon, and we're going to make content that is just for you, our Patreon family. It's just as easy as a click in our liner notes, and you can do that. All right, my friends, good news. They're here. Let's say hello to the Glindas. Let's go on with the show. Oh, well, my heart just feels happy. I feel bubbly, and that's appropriate. It's good to see you three, isn't it?
Oh, thank you.
You all knew that was coming. There was no way it wasn't going to. So happy to have gathered these three amazing Glindas together. Let's say hello to current Broadway Glinda, wrapping up her reign on Broadway. Brittany Johnson, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for doing this. Brittany, so you, a couple things going on right now. You're wrapping up your run here in a little bit, and
yes,
you're smack dab in the middle of Broadway holiday season. Ooh. Which is, just let the people know quickly what they
hard.
What,
it's so hard.
It's so hard. It's so hard.
I think I'm at the theater more than I'm at home.
Well, how many? When sometimes you'll end up doing how many shows back to back in a holiday schedule, like 14?
I have the schedule right behind me. Oh, I can tell you right now. Let's see. The longest stretch for us is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
That's
this year.
I think Jenna Claire and I need to bake you some baked goods.
I know. I think the fact that Brittany's even here today on her day off and like she could be on vocal.
Oh, this isn't a day off. We have a show tonight.
Oh my gosh. Brittany.
Oh my
thank
gosh.
You for being here.
Well,
you're so lucky. If you just need to communicate by like whiteboard or
we got
well,
you.
Well, I just gotta say, we're so grateful to have you here. I know that it's psychotic, and that's what the people don't know. When you go and you see her flounce around the stage like it's no big deal, kids, it's a big deal. We love you and appreciate you being here. Want to say hi to Jenna Claire Mason. Woo-hoo! Congratulations on the holiday spectacular movie.
Thank you so much.
you're in the holiday spirit, to be sure. What has the response been to the film, and how closely was Radio City attached to it?
Very closely tied. It was actually kind of cool because Hallmark Channel is this beloved holiday brand, as is the Radio City Rocket. So for them to have this sort of perfect marriage, the holiday season was really special. But the response has been really good. I feel like people really like it. And I know for me, it was really special to get to go see the Radio City Rockets a couple weeks ago and cheer them on. And I mean, they were really tied in it to it, and that, you know, there was lots of real Rockettes in the film. So that was special. Something else that's really cool is when we did a premiere at Radio City, they invited all the current Rockettes and alumni Rockettes to come watch. And seeing that sisterhood play out and the way they cheer each other on, it actually really reminds me of the Glinda sisterhood. Just like, this is, I mean, 1,000 high kicks a day. I'm exaggerating, but it's something like that. But sometimes Glinda feels like 1,000 high kicks a day, right, ladies? I know, like, when I was on tour and Amanda Jay was on Broadway, I'd be like, I just wake up and the first thing I think about are my feet and how much they hurt. She's like, it's okay, you're going to get through it. Sometimes I would cry too. We're going to be fine.
And I literally the other day just texted Jenna Claire to be like, is it normal to be exhausted? Exhausted? She was like, yes, it's
yes,
normal. You're
it's normal. Really normal. Yes.
If you're not, you're doing it wrong. I was exactly. thinking about that. It's kind
doing
of
it
like
right, Brittany. Exactly.
It's that
you
bonding.
Everything.
That bonding that you get when you've been through Vietnam together, you know, it's that kind of sacred. Only you really know what it's like to do this. Only another Glinda. Let's say hi to Amanda Jane Cooper.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. Nice. Such a warm reception. You're in front of a Christmas tree, I see.
I am in front of our little tiny table tree. Absolutely. Had to.
And you all kind of showed up. Somebody mentioned earlier, and I, you know, you can't see this because we are an audio platform, but everyone showed up in a fabulous Glinda tribute monochromatic moment. We've got
quite
a bubble gown, popular dress, and an Emerald City moment going on between the three of you.
It's actually like
by accident.
Yeah.
I almost wore pink, and I thought Amanda Jane's gonna wear pink for sure. I have a bubble dress blue. Brittany's rocking the Emerald City yellow, and AJC's got her pink on.
Oh my gosh. It's popular. Perfect.
It makes me very happy, but I have to believe there's some subliminal reasoning behind it. Somewhere deep in that you maybe you'll never understand until we get through all of our therapy in 90 years.
I also think we're very connected, that we all came in a different color.
Yeah, it's visually stunning. I'm sorry you all can't see it because it's a feast for the eyes.
Thanks, Ben. So, also, can I just say really quick, I just saw GC's movie on Saturday night on Hallmark, and yes. I literally was crying. Also, I was like, I think I'm giving away the whole plot of this because I was like posting about it on my Instagram stories, and I was like, I need to stop because people actually need to watch the actual movie. But she was absolutely outstanding. And then I also had the chance to see Brittany Johnson as Glinda back in May, I think. And you guys, just so stunning. Run to the Gershwin.
Got 2 months left.
That's right.
Go see her.
Yes.
Get those tickets.
Oh my gosh, fly to the Gershwin, as it were.
Ben, did you know that Amanda Jane just launched her own podcast?
I want to know all
of season one.
I want to hear all about it, Amanda Jane.
Well, I will tell you a secret.
What better place?
This is my podcast jacket because I'm doing it once a week. And I'm like, you know what? Let me take away. It's kind of like the Steve Jobs, like wearing a uniform thing. I'm like, I'm just going to wear this pink jacket. So I wore it on your podcast as well. And Jenna Claire was my very first guest. And I'm currently courting Brittany Johnson to see if she'll come on. So we'll see. Everybody.
I'll be there.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
She's in. Ladies and gentlemen, she is in.
Brittany, it's a trap. It's a beautiful, beautiful trap.
That was a very Glinda view.
I love that. Congratulations on that, Amanda Jane.
Thank
And branding is so important. I think that the pink jacket, you, at the very least, you know, people will be like, she's always in that pink jacket. She's really beautiful. She's in a pink jacket. I like it.
Well, it's kind of a perfect color, pink, first of all. And then as far as uniforms go, like with our line of work, we're used to having a uniform. Like we go in and we wear this outfit and we are this person. And I think it's very on brand, ADC.
It's amazing how much that can help cement you in people's minds, though. I mean, I feel like even in auditions very often, haven't you guys heard that where if you get that callback, show up again in the same outfit so they can be like, I remember it was that fabulous girl who was wearing the t-shirt that said, I hate moths or whatever, you know?
Absolutely.
Right? Showbiz know-how. So give me the connection between, we got to a little bit of it, and I love that you're also in each other's lives. I love that already. We already heard people asking questions and checking in on each other. Within Wicked and kind of where else have your paths crossed?
Before we do that, I just want to say, this is unique. All three of us have played Glinda in the year 2022, which doesn't always happen.
That's true. Yeah.
Wow. No, that is true.
That's pretty cool.
I have had the pleasure of being in the building while both of these ladies have played Glinda. So I've had like a front row seat to both of them, which, I mean, if you haven't seen both of, I mean, there's probably on YouTube, you could probably go bootleg it.
Oh my.
No such thing.
Promote bootlegs? Do they exist?
I'm so perhaps. Right. It's just, if you happen upon it, you know.
Don't you feel like at this point with Instagram, all bets are off in that department just a little bit? I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. There are some of these Instagram accounts that I am living for on the daily. I'm like, I need to remember how Judy Kuhn sang in Rags. There she is. How wonderful. Couldn't get a ticket. So we're going to play a little game to get started here. We're going to give you a challenge. It's a little bit of an improvisational challenge where we're going to ask you to channel. I'll learn how to speak here in a minute. Glinda, if Glinda was giving us the plot points of another musical, maybe that has some tragedy in it.
Oh.
She's a very good spin. It's the Glinda spin, or we could call it the Spinda. So I'm going to give you
All right.
A musical. All right. I'm going to give you a musical. I'm going to give you a couple.
Musical you give me.
Same.
Oh, you will. I'm not going to, it's not going to be. Okay. And now for Pacific Overtures. I believe that you will know.
Which is amazing. Yep.
Scarlet Pimpernel. Oh my gosh. That made me sweat for some reason. I was like, what happens in that? All right. I'll give you a couple plot points. And then I want you to very top of Act Two, in turn, give me Glinda's glossed up version of that. Do you accept the challenge? I'll start with Amanda Jane Cooper on this one.
Oh, let's go.
Okay, let's go.
Pray for me.
Here we go. I'm tossing the ball.
Okay.
The musical, of course, is the laugh riot that is Les Miserables.
Mm.
And the basic plot points here, we've got a man who stole a loaf of bread, chased for years by a disgruntled policeman who can't seem to bring him under back into jail. So he throws himself from a bridge. Everyone else gets shot and died until he dies. Just give us a quick couple lines to make us want to come see that show.
Every revolution needs a beginning. Do you hear the people sing? They are singing because they suffered, but they overcame. And how did they do that? With the fire in their hearts. And with beautiful soaring high notes, with emotional depth and honesty, with justice for all.
Great. Absolutely. I want to see it.
I think the challenge is over. I think she won. I think we can move on.
Let's move on.
Wonderful thing. It's not a contest, but if it were, let's find out.
Did
who
you see
it
how
was.
Vague that was though? Cause I'm like,
no, but that's,
I'm going to be real.
That's amazing.
Imperial Theater. I loved that show.
Mean, honestly, that's.
I could have used that speech while in the show.
Exactly, Brittany. Actually, this should be Brittany's question because she was in it.
Do you hear the people sing?
Do you?
I did. 8 times a week.
And she also sang.
Yeah. So she sang back. She heard them and she sang back. Okay, let's go to Britney then.
You are the people singing.
I am the people singing.
Mm-hmm. The call's coming.
I need to clarify the game.
Yes.
Is the game as Glinda trying to encourage people to see it, or are we Glinda within the show encouraging the people?
Wow.
That's a good question, because I don't think I did either.
I'm going to leave this wildly.
Do you mean top of act one, like we're calming everyone down? Like which
one? I'm talking top of act two, where we're spinning everything. Do you know what? Right. It's not that deep, I think. I think it's
dramaturgy.
This is the draw. I know. Listen,
taking this so seriously.
I'm so into it, though. But you know what? I'm honestly kind of okay if you want to insert Glinda into the show too, Brittany. Maybe that's great. Your spin.
Oh, because, okay, let's see.
Because we're turning to you with the Phantom of the Opera.
Oh my!
With the Phantom of the Opera, where we have a creepy, disfigured musical genius who stalks a young singer, kills a bunch of people, and then ultimately gives her back, and he disappears. We don't know. He may have died. We don't know. Take it away.
Fellow Aussians.
There it is.
Across the pond, there has been drama. And while we love drama, we need to support our friends who have been going through such a difficult, difficult time, but again, with song in their hearts. Let us be glad that we are not there.
Yep, I'll take it. Yep,
she both
that's good. But what's great about that spin is that it could be anything. It could be absolutely anything, and we've got to overcome. No, it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. All right, Jenna Claire. West Side Story ends tragically. Mm. Girl meets boy. Boys gang hates girls gang. Trouble abounds. People end up dead. How does Glinda spin West Side Story for us? Action.
You know, I've heard it said that Maria was misunderstood and she had affections for a man that she thought would be with her till the end of time, which I can relate with. And then there was one short day when troubles arose, and I am a sentimental witch, and I think that the tragedy that ensued between the two of them could be compared to that of Romeo and Juliet, although Maria is less popular. She is left to mourn the wicked alone.
Oh,
my
good gravy. We're snaps. Snaps all around.
That was
amazing.
That.
Have you guys?
The soundtrack list. I don't know.
Have you guys ever been given one of a big old piece of paperboard where someone like writes a story to you and like glues a bunch of candy bars to it to try to force those words into it? Like, you're Snow whatchamacallit. I think you're a real skittle of a guy. That felt like that to me. It was really well done.
Like Mad Libs or something.
Something like that. That was really impressive.
Fantastic.
Before you lived out your Glinda bubble dreams, my friends, we have to start at the beginning. What were your very early influences? What were the moments that you saw something on stage and went, oh my gosh, I want to do that?
Personally, Amanda. I wanted to be Mariah Carey.
Mm. Ooh.
I
think most people listening. Yeah. Most people listening agree with that. Was that really it? Were you into vocalists and Mariah Carey before you really got into theater?
I was, yes. I started mostly as a singer. So I grew up listening to Mariah and Whitney and, you know, all the greats and singing in church. And I thought that I was going to really pursue music. And when I, you know, started getting older, I started thinking about college and school, and I realized that Mariah Carey wasn't a major. I started thinking a little bit more about what a career using my voice would look like. And I had done a little theater here and there, you know, but not really. And so I auditioned for the high school musical And Les Mis was actually my first real role in a musical in high school. I played Fantine and I was hooked. After that, it was like, okay, I'm going to school for musical theater. Who knew you could sing and act and dance for a living?
Come on.
Brittany, am I right? Did you play Cosette and Eponine in the same day on Broadway? Is that right?
I played Fantine and Eponine in the same day.
Did you really?
She made history. Yes.
I was playing Eponine. Like, my role was Eponine. And I came in that day and my stage manager was like, so how about you play Fantine for the matinee? And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. So I played Fantine for the matinee and then I played Eponine.
Broadway is crazy.
Broadway is crazy. Do you remember any of that or did you just completely black out and wake up and it was over?
A little bit of both. I think I had just had my put in for Fantine like a couple weeks ago before that. And I thought that was going to be it. You know, I was excited just to have the put in. I didn't think it was ever going to go on.
Wow. And that's amazing.
Woke up one day.
You will go on, my friends. You will go on.
Wow.
That amazing. Is extraordinary. But it's also extraordinary that Les Mis was your first intro into theater, too. That's a heavy helping of musical theater.
It
prepares you for just about anything. Amanda Jane, when did you get bit by the theater bug?
Okay, I was a super shy kid, but I have memories of watching our high school drama guild production of The Secret Garden. And my mom, I was like sitting on my mom's lap or something. So I don't know how old I was, but she said that I sat there completely still, mesmerized the whole production. And then the first show that I ever saw on Broadway, I was in third grade and we went to see Cats, which was a disaster, not because the show was, but because I was so scared of the cats crawling through the audience in the opening. Thank you very much, with their sparkly eyes and tails brushing by you in the audience. I was like crying. I was so scared. But then it was redeemed a year later when we saw Bernadette Peters in Annie Get Your Gun. And I loved that. I was like, I'm not scared of this show. So
you got to see that?
Yes, girl. It was, I mean, so I grew up in Philly, so it was such a gift to just pop up here like once a year or so, starting in third grade. So it's, yeah, such a gift. And I still remember it. I still can visualize it. Yeah, it's so cool. So,
did you then say, Mommy, I need the voice lessons. I need community theater shows.
It was like a year later that I had to audition for the fifth grade musical. And I was still kind of in my shy bubble, but I had to audition. And then I got a part because my music teacher, Mrs. Susan Messner, who I always shout out, gave me a chance. and that's when I was like, that's the first time I actually did it. And then I was like, oh, I'm hooked. So then I did theater all throughout middle school and high school. We had an amazing director called Mrs. Lisa Eaton in high school. It was a public high school, but with a fantastic arts program. And she believed in me and she gave me all these just wonderful opportunities. And she's just a really gifted actors director. So those two women changed the course of my life.
I love that shout out.
Yeah.
I love the shout out. Shout out to Kathleen Reed if she's out there listening. I think her name is Kathleen Nutt at some point. Jenna Claire, how about you?
I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee. So also just surrounded by music and loved music. But, you know, I think my parents did something right because they raised us on the music theater classics. Like, I grew up watching Cats. I had a big crush on
McCavity.
I thought McCavity was really cool. I liked Rum Tug Tugger. I thought I would listen to Magical Mr. Mistopheles on repeat. I also loved Annie. I also really loved the soundtrack for Annie Get Your – not I did love Annie Get Your Gun too, but My Fair Lady. But my parents went to go see that revival of Annie Get Your Gun when Reba McEntire took over. Yay, country music. And apparently when you left the theater, you got like a little EP of her singing some of the songs. My parents brought it home, and I sang those songs on repeat. Like, Can't Get a Man with a Gun. Got like lost in his arms. I got lost in his arms. But I saw my first Broadway show in fourth grade. It was Les Mis, and not too long after saw the original cast of Wicked and said, that job, that I want to do that one. And there I was, like, just a gangly, awkward kid, like, oh, that one looks fun. She's got, gets to wear the pretty dresses. And I'm sure Brittany and Amanda can relate to this, but I think the things that attract maybe kids to the role of Glinda, you know, she gets to wear the pretty dresses and she has the pretty songs. The way that you love this character changes as you get older because she is dynamic and she does have such an interesting arc and there is so much to love about her mm-hmm. beyond just the pretty things, you know, her depth and her resilience and her leadership and her compassion and her passion. Yeah. So
and her growth.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, I ended up going to school for theater. Too. I think, like they mentioned, you know, there's that realization in your head of, oh, this thing that I love that's an after school activity, people are doing this for their job. Count me in.
Yeah. That's a very exciting moment when you go, someone's going to pay me for this? And okay. Because we've done it for free for a long time. Also, I love that you were a tiny little baby angel when they brought home the Reba McEntire CD. I was a very grown adult when I went to see that.
I wish I could see her do that. I wonder if there's a pro shop.
It was
maybe at Lincoln Center.
Absolutely.
Oh, maybe.
Otherworldly. It was such a perfect fit. She's such a natural performer. It was, and the way her voice, I love Reba McEntire. I'm a big old country gay. So I'm glad you had that experience. But
Jen, and Irving Berlin, he can write a song.
Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be big.
I think he'll do just fine.
I think
he's got legs. I really do. Jenny Claire, you touched on this, and I want to ask Brittany and Amanda Jane as well. Was Glinda on your radar? And if so, when did you see it and go, hey, now, look, I see me in that bubble.
Oh, my gosh. I think Glinda was on everybody's radar. I might be a little, I think I'm a little, I think I might be the elder in the group. but I saw,
I don't know.
I don't actually know, but we'll just by a little bit. But so I was a freshman in high school when our drama guild took a bus up to New York City to see the original cast of Wicked. And then I got
I
to
love
go back
that you
like
were so close that you could
oh,
go.
Oh, so what cool. a gift. Such a gift. Just a quick little, you know. And then like a month or two later, I got to go back again with my family to see the original cast. So I saw them twice.
Wow.
And so in that moment, I was like, oh my gosh, wait, I think I could maybe do that. And by this time, I'd been doing theater for maybe like 4 or 5 years. And so seeing Kristen in that role honestly made me think, okay, wait, like maybe I actually want to do this with my life. And there would be a place for me here, maybe. So I'll always be grateful for that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's that's interesting. So like feels like such a wonderful fit, you know. Brittany, did it obviously you've broken down barriers and cracked this nut wide open.
Yes.
The first black actress to play it. Was she on your radar at all?
I don't think I know the answer. I think my first introduction to Wicked was, I want to say it was right before maybe my freshman year of high school, and I was at my first arts camp, and so it was my first time really around a whole bunch of theater people, and you know how theater people are. I was very overwhelmed because I was also a very shy person. I still am kind of shy. And I remember there were these two girls and they were obsessed with this show called Wicked. And I was just hearing all of these names of all these different musicals for the first time. So I really didn't have any idea that it was brand new. I didn't know anything about anything. And they were like, oh, you don't know about Wicked? And then, you know, so they lent me the soundtrack and I was in my room and I was playing the songs and I was like, wow, this is really good. You know, like catchy, you know, so...
Steven Schwartz. I like it.
I think he'll do just fine too.
Absolutely. He's got legs as well.
So I remember they were twins and there was this competition to see who was gonna sing for good. And they ended up winning it. And so for the longest time, I thought that Elphaba and Glinda were sisters.
Oh, fun.
I was very confused. and then I saw Wicked on tour at the Kennedy Center. I grew up in Washington, D.C., around Washington, D.C. And so my first showing of Wicked was the tour. I actually didn't see it on Broadway until the night before my callback.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I went to go see it. Like, I should see this on Broadway. I should see what's
I might
going
be
on.
In this soon.
My future job.
Yeah.
But after I heard the soundtrack, I loved it. And I, you know. But I think I just wanted to be part of the world. I didn't.
Yeah.
I just wanted to sing, you know.
Tell me about the what is the process of auditioning for Glinda? What are some of the hoops that we don't know that need to be jumped through?
Who wants to go first?
I can go. I feel at least now. I mean, there are people out there who audition in their first time, get the part. But I think because the show has existed for so long, I tell a lot of people that auditioning for Wicked can be like dating, getting to know you, because they can have a chance to bring you in and bring you in again. And they're like, oh, I liked it when she did this and work on this and come see. So it was my first audition out of college. And I think it was for the tour and I didn't get it. And then I sent in a self-tape like a year later and nothing happened. And then a year later, I auditioned again and made it to final callbacks and didn't get it. And then they did want me. So we have the audition packet. So that's popular. That's a cut of, ladies help me. Oh, the opening.
The opening.
Mm-hmm, the opening.
And then it's the Fallen House scene, the Thank Goodness scene, and the Popular scene. So that's, there you go. Everybody has the audition material.
Yeah.
And at my final callback, and this was when I started as the standby initially on Broadway, they handed me Thank Goodness. And they said, you know, we need to put this on tape for Stephen Schwartz. So if you could just sing this, which Thank Goodness is that song that you either people don't like it and they skip through it, or it's the song that you're used to singing to along in the car, but not necessarily knowing it rhythm perfect. But
I remember. Sure.
It's hard.
This is it. And I had one chance to do it. And I think they just wanted to hear the last note. But it was a good lesson to me and a good lesson for anyone listening to this who wants to be in theater. If you love a show that already exists and has existed for a long time, if you want to be in Legally Blonde or Les Mis or West Side Story or any, like South Pacific, whatever it is, go ahead and learn the whole score. Go ahead and learn the whole show. If it's a dream role, why not just know the whole thing and not be dependent on this packet? It was a good lesson for me anyway to be like, oh, this has been a dream role for me for so long. Why don't I know this song rhythm perfect already? That was my bad. And then I went on to play the role on tour for 20 months. And then I did it on Broadway after that. So, yeah, that was my
And
journey.
Jenna, were you the one who got to say, it's good to see me, isn't it? When the first Broadway performance opened up. What on earth was that moment?
That was crazy.
I remember months leading up to Broadway coming back, people posting, I need to get tickets to Wicked because I need to hear that line spoken in a theater after coming out of the pandemic.
It wasn't maybe too dissimilar to what maybe Glinda was feeling. I had all these emotions welling up in me, but knew I had to hold it together because I feel like if I let myself start crying or, you know, that I wouldn't make it, you know, we're just getting started. I'm not going to make it through. So trying to keep it in. But I think the line that's also super impactful is that last one. Brittany, give it to us. We've been through a frightening time.
Oh yes, I was like, well, last line. we've been through a frightening time, and there will be other times and other things that frighten us.
Wow! Yeah.
That on the other side of the 18-month shunt, I was like, crazy.
That's incredibly deep.
But everyone was just happy to be back in the building, you know, cast and audiences alike.
Oh, for sure. What was the audition process for you ladies? You got the
you
packet.
Go next?
Sure, go Brittany. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. I'll go. My audition experience, I think it was very different, but I had a similar experience to that Jenna Claire for Motown. All Broadway auditions, I feel like they run the gamut, but my Wicked audition process. I went in the first time just for casting. I sang Popular, I sang the opening, and I actually think that's it. And then she told me in the room, she's like, okay, so you're coming back tomorrow. And I went, oh, great. I was just excited to get to sing the songs for another person and not just in the mirror at home by myself. because I had never auditioned for Wicked before. I had always wanted to, but I had never been given an audition. And so, and I was shocked that it was Glinda. I thought for sure if they called me in, it would be for Elphaba. I'm definitely more of a Glinda. But, you know, I can do Elphaba. We can do it. Let's do it. Let's try it out.
Time for a role swap.
Yeah, girl.
Like,
I believe in you.
Wednesday nights, yeah. Just swap them out.
Absolutely. And so I went back in the next day for Lisa, who's our fearless leader. Yes. And I think Dan might have been there too, maybe. Our music director, Dan Michke. It's kind of a blur because I remember they said, okay, so tomorrow we need you to maybe come back and dance. Because when I was auditioning for, at the time, the understudy, so I was going to have a part every day. And anytime anybody tells me about a dance call, I get the sweats. I get very nervous. I am a
strong movers here.
Yeah, but choreography, whew. So that is why I went to see the show that night, because I was like, I need to understand what this movement is like, what I'm in for.
And it's quirky.
Yes. Yeah. And I remember, and I didn't even know if I had the callback yet. So I went in, and literally the lights are coming down, and I see my agent calling, and he's like, okay, you're gonna go in for tomorrow. I was like, okay, I'm gonna see it. I'm gonna watch it now. Okay, bye. And so I went in the next day, and it was a male chorus call. I was the only woman in there. Oh. And so they just like passed me off, and I was just being lifted by all these guys and just giggling, which I did all through rehearsals too. Every time I would be lifted, I'd giggle. It took a while to, it just took a while.
That's very Dirty Dancing when she giggles when they're practicing that move over and over again.
Oh yeah, over and over. I did that, and then I think I went in one more time the following week, and I booked it.
Wow.
Yeah. What was that? Amazing. What'd you do when you got the call?
I think I sat down, like stunned for a second. And confused. And then I called my mom, and we screamed a lot and ran around the house. And that's what I remember. I don't remember anything else. As I just remember being like, what? I'm gonna be in Wicked?
Wow.
First, just being in Wicked. I mean, it's Wicked. And then being able to, at some point, maybe play Glinda, because I was gonna be the understudy. Super excited to just learn it and then build on top of that, the history and the, all of that. I probably just sat there like, what's about to happen? And I called my mom.
Wow.
I love that.
For moms.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
For moms.
Who else is going to get that call?
Wow.
Amanda, Jane, how about you?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I love your story.
That's
ladies.
A cool journey. I love it.
So I went to the same alma mater as Stephen Schwartz, which is Carnegie Mellon University. He's very generous to come back and do master classes for us. And I had the opportunity to sing popular for him, I think when I was a sophomore or junior, I forget which one.
Were you shitting your nervous. Pants?
Oh, I mean,
oh my goodness.
Not exactly, but I was very
my inner child just got so like, I'm going to sing. I have sung Stephen Schwartz songs for Stephen Schwartz before to get into Wicked, but not in that context.
That makes me want to sing Poopular.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you did not.
Poopular.
But I wore like a pink dress and I was like shaking. Like I brought my music to the accompanist and I was just like shaking. And then I sang it. I think I like blacked out. And then afterwards he was like, you know, I think you might play Glinda one day. You should send your materials to Telsey. And I was like, okay. And so I legitimately put a cover letter together on a piece of pink paper with stars and hearts that I drew all over it. And I said, hello, Mr. Stephen Schwartz told me to send my materials to you. With my like old like high school headshot with like, you know, this resume that was like all my high school shows or whatever. And so, but the first time that I auditioned for Wicked was April of my senior year. So I drove from Pittsburgh to New York, auditioned, didn't get it then, but in October of that year, so this is 2010, I went back in and I started being seen by more and more people, I actually went over to the Gershwin, and Dominic Amendum went through the music with me, and they actually set me up with my now voice teacher, Joan Later. And yeah, so I went in probably 4 or 5 times, maybe less, it just seems like more to me, but it, with more people behind the table each time. Had my final audition in November, and then got a call while I was in anthropology with my sister at Rock Center, with a call
like, we can buy everything.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I had this big pile of clothes that I just dropped. I was like, and it was my agent saying, hey, would you like to play Glinda on the first national tour? And so my sister was with me. So it was this beautiful thing. I got to like embrace her there. And then, you know, of course, call my mom. So that was my first go around. I was on tour for 8 months. As Glinda, and then 4 years later came back and did the second national for 16 months, which, to give a very long story condensed, basically, like, you know, Glinda goes through this journey where we meet her and a lot of her thoughts are about herself, and she's really not living for anything bigger. And that was honestly my story. When I played her with her the first time, everything on the surface was like amazing, but my personal life was a disaster, and I was struggling with different addictions and different really hard stuff. So I moved to LA, and I do TV, and we all do TV and film as well, you know? And so I was there for 4 years doing that. And while I was there, I came to faith, and my life totally changed, got the opportunity to go back to Wicked and just do it as a new woman, essentially, and was living for something bigger than myself, and also not being like, oh, this job is what makes me matter in life. So it was just a beautiful redemptive experience. And while I was on tour, I got a call to make my Broadway debut. And it was such a God story where I literally like felt this voice be like, turn around. And there'd been some rumblings of like, oh, maybe you're going to New York after this. And I felt this voice be like, turn around. And I turned around, and my laptop was on the couch behind me. And I had been writing thank you goodbye notes to my cast on tour. And I had my music on shuffle. And I turn around, and at the top of the email, it says, Amanda Jane Cooper, Wicked Broadway offer. And in that exact moment, my shuffle changed to this music, this song called You Are Mine by MSC, which is a worship song from my church in LA, sung by my roommate, who said, you gotta go, you gotta leave LA, you gotta go back, live your dream. So it was like the most amazing moment, lots of tears. And so that was my Broadway call. Yeah, and then got to go, you know, back in February, which was just such a surprise and a delight as well. So.
Well, and now you're immortalized in that, in the commercial that we get to see all the time.
I swear. It's such a, that is just exceedingly, but I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for, like we all are, just for the team, for believing in us and giving us this chance to play this completely perfect role as actors, right? And vocalists. And it's just, what a gift we have, right?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Truly.
And not, you know what I mean? Like, what a gift we've been given. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really is so beautiful. I'm also really taken with the idea, because when we spoke to Jackie Burns Teal and Jenny DeNoia, and we did our Alpha Buzz episode,
what a crew!
I know, right? And they were talking a little bit about how playing Elphaba for them changed as they changed, and then when they would play it at one point in their life and another time in their life, it was a very different experience. And I like hearing that's true of this character as well. So now that we're talking about the gift, you come into this iconic role, right? Every little girl's dream come true. What are the challenges that you face in making your Glinda, in making it your own?
Mm.
Do you feel pressure that I need to put my stamp on it?
I think it's so cool. I think the team does such a good job at hiring people that they trust to maintain the integrity of the way it was written, but also they're very interested in seeing us bring us to these parts. And I think that's what's really cool. Like, all of our Glindas are different, and because we're all different. So it's not like, oh, we have to work so hard to make our unique stamps. It's like, inevitably we're layered into this role. So I think that's special.
I think that is special. I think that
you see some Glindas that are more more peppy. You see some Glendas that are more tomboyish. You see some Glendas that are more grounded or more bubbly, or both all kind of intertwined. So it's sweet. And like you were saying with the Elphabas, I think the you know, me as the standby, me on tour, me on Broadway postponed pandemic after I had a baby. Like, just it keeps changing, because we keep changing. We can't stay the same. Yeah.
For sure. Well, to that point, I'm going, Brittany, how has your, through your run, how has your Glenda developed or changed in the months and months and months you've been able to get in that bubble every night, or sometimes 13 nights in a row?
Yeah. Yes. I think my Glenda has changed a lot. I think I have gotten more grounded. I've gotten more comfortable in being able to be myself, because I know I put so much pressure on myself, and especially in the beginning, so much pressure on myself to live up to expectations of what people are used to Glenda being like, knowing that I cannot be that. and also wanting to bring what is unique about me just as a human being, just like Jenna Claire was just saying, to the role, and not feel like there was some kind of mold I had to fit into. And also so difficult leading off of the backs of these two beautiful women, because they are so funny. Oh my goodness. Even just from the monitors backstage, you can hear the audience like dying with laughter. You don't know what a gift it was to watch you guys play this role. Like, honestly. And the support, I'm gonna start crying. The support that I felt coming in from both of you, and my little curtain letter is amazing. From Amanda Jane. And every time I see it, it reminds me just how lucky I am to be there, and how, like you were saying earlier, Amanda Jane, it's so much bigger than you, and it's not what makes your life have purpose, but it is a really special time. And it's a gift that you get to give other people every night. And I think at the beginning of my run, I took that maybe to the extreme, and I put so much pressure on myself to be there every night, and I was working so hard. I was exhausting myself to the point where I got a note one day that was like, Brittany, you're working really hard. You can work less. And so our dresser, Tracy, she made me a little banner. It says work less.
That's so Tracy.
It's in the mirror right now. And every time that I see it, it reminds me that I'm a human. Mm. I'm just a person, and I'm doing my best, and I'm bringing what I have every day to this role. And every day it's a little bit different. Mm. And I'm hoping that someone in the audience is taking what they need from it. But I can't be everything to everyone, and I'm not going to be. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they laugh, and sometimes they don't laugh. Sometimes they laugh at other things, and it's a nice little surprise. And, you know,
and isn't that the beauty of live theater?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, absolutely. And trusting that you are is not only enough, but is world class, and you're there for a very specific reason to share your gifts with people.
Amen.
And we all, you know, have to sort through our own insecurities. What actors? It's insecure. What? No, huh?
Right. And you're playing this character who seems to have no insecurities, who walks around and everyone just loves her by just existing. And when you're playing a role like that, and you don't feel like that, the imposter syndrome sometimes really, really sneaks in. Mm. And so I think maybe even more than my Glenda growing, I've grown. And so I guess vicariously, my Glenda has grown.
That's deep. That's so good.
Yeah, that is. I know. This is good stuff, guys. This is good stuff. Really good stuff. Let's dissect just a little bit Popular. Such an iconic number. It's when we think of Glenda, it's the first thing that comes into our mind. We think about how we've seen it. What, dissect it for me. What are the parts you look forward to? What are the parts that are a little bit more free form for you? What are the parts that you feel particularly connected to? Give me a little, how would we approach the popular number?
Amanda? You guys, I think you guys probably feel the same, but the attempt to turn the dress into a ball gown and then eventually tossing said wand is, I just love that journey. I feel like it's like, right, because it's like Elphaba's the one with the actual powers. And so it's this kind of cool, you know, she's trying so hard. She's done all these other things to do makeovers for people. And then she's like doing something that's kind of more Elphaba's thing, but she's like kind of trying to connect with her there and also learn all of it. And I just love, I love the desperation of it. And also the covering of the not succeeding and moving on. And I feel like it's so fun to play with whoever your Elphaba is. And oh, I love that. I love that part of popular.
Did you find that would change based on your counterpart?
Yes, 100%. And then this happened very rarely, but sometimes you toss the wand and it accidentally ricochets. If you toss it onto the light tower, it accidentally ricochets back onto the stage.
Brittany that's looks happened horrified.
To me like three oh my goodness, times. That's never happened to me. That's terrifying.
You toss it and then it just tugs. But honestly, it's live theater and the audience loves it because they're like, oh, obviously she's got to deal with this thing that doesn't happen every time.
One time it ricocheted and it went into the audience on tour.
Oh my gosh.
Like, bye, well, wand.
There souvenir. Free souvenir.
Oh my gosh. Little Becky from Des Moines is still got that in a glass case on her mantle.
Oh, heck so yeah.
I had to do some throwing lessons.
Yeah. But I feel like with...
There's a reason I'm not in sports.
I think feeling like somebody was about to say something. Can I dig a fod?
Oh, I think I just was like, saying, I don't know, I think like with popular, I don't know, I just, I feel like the journey is just like, okay, just tell the truth. I think like that's what I've learned throughout my time as Glinda. I feel like when I first started playing her, I didn't trust enough that like it's all there. It's all there for you. Winnie Holtzman and Stephen Schwartz have done it all. So just like telling the truth with what they've given you in the writing and not like playing it for laughs, although sometimes it's hard not to because laughs feel really nice, but just like what is the most truthful high stakes thing about this, and then just like playing the truth of it, I guess that's what I've learned
funnier.
And I'm still learning, you know. Yes, totally. Yeah. Totally.
Her
and that's
her.
That's what I've learned. It's funnier when you just, when you're very not necessarily serious, but when you are just being very honest and you're mm-hmm. trying, you're really trying. Then the audience, I mean,
they're with you
because, right, because they can connect with you in that way.
Yeah,
my favorite part in popular has been finding my first La La dance break, quote unquote dance break, because I like to really play on stage and I like to find new things, and you know, they're we can get into lulls where it starts to get a little bit on autopilot, and because this character is so dynamic and fun, I feel like it's my responsibility to bring life back onto the stage. So so sometimes I make it a point to try to make Elphie laugh because she needs one. She needs a laugh. That's a tough role. And I feel like Glinda also, she likes to bring people joy. And mm-hmm. so that first Lala section, I like to throw in a little Easter egg and a little surprise here and there. And it's really fun to watch Elphie react to it if she sees it. That's been a real joy for me.
I love that. And that is a place so into the character, like you said. That's magical.
I think piggybacking off what they said, the secret to Glinda is telling the truth and being honest, and like IJC said, it's all there on the page, and it is so real for her. I think something there, you know, the physical comedy does exist, and the comedy is there throughout, but I think something that takes the pressure off is that the song's not about Glinda. It's about Elphaba. It's about helping her. And you have the goal is to help her, and you have to help her. And if you just keep coming back to this is what I have to do, and this is my task, and this is my objective, and I have to make her better. I have to make this improvement until that last just not as popular as me. That's, you know, actually it's about me. But I do think that takes some of the pressure off. And my favorite part was on tour one time during, I'd say popular more so than the some other things in the show, we do have more creative freedom. You know, don't do anything that's not in the world of the show, but more freedom to play, I guess. But there was one time on tour where I dropped into the splits.
Yeah.
And surprised my Elphaba. And then it wasn't too many shows later that my Elphaba did her toss, and then she started going down the splits. And it was the night that the reviewer was there in Indianapolis, and I lost my mind. Mary Kate Morrissey in the splits, and it was the best thing ever.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
And the fact that we could, like, you know, do, and it worked, because she's like, this is what I saw you do, and I'm going to try because I want to be popular, and is that how you're popular?
Oh, my gosh.
That's an absurd story, but it's one of my favorite popular stories.
I don't know. Find the lie. The splits can make you very popular, I think, in general.
My second show, one of my shoes fell off during popular, because that's the quick change with the hook. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to, like, trying to put it back on, I just ripped off the other one. And I was like, we're in our dorm room. And then just try not to slip in your tights.
and dodge the tracks on the ground.
Right. That too.
You know, I remember on Kristen's last show, and you have to expect something's going to happen, but we all kind of crowded into the wings on her last show, and she took the liberty to do like a 10-minute long shtick at the end about towards Adina. And of course, we're all in the wings going, oh my gosh, but she's going off the rails. And it was incredibly sweet. And the audience, she had the audience in the palm of her hands, but I just, how fun for all of you to get to play with that. And I'm so happy to hear that you are playing with it. It's so fun for the audience.
And fun for us.
What, Ben, go ahead, Amanda.
I just want to say, Ben, thank you for being part of the magic of the original cast, because that launched all of us to, you know, love the show. And, you know, so thank you.
Round of applause for Ben.
Oh, thanks so much. Listen, how many years, 19 years later, and I'm still milking the one line on a cast album. I'll do it.
I heard your voice. Will you do it for us, please?
Glinda, is it true you were her friend? There it is.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
I got a little chill, actually.
Well, there it is.
And if that line didn't happen,
plot pivotal,
the show would just end.
All right.
Exactly. Well,
she says
bye.
No.
I said my good news. See you later.
Yep. No, curtain down. Do you guys find, just a couple of quick questions. Do you find or worry in any way when you've played a role this iconic and you've played it for a certain amount of time, do you as an actress outside of the Wicked world feel that there's any sort of expectation put upon you or any sort of pigeonholing that happens where they go, okay, well, I look at the resume, I see that we've got Glinda here. And in my mind, Glinda equals this. Have you come up against any of that you feel like you've had to break through, or do we live in a world where maybe there's not so much of that pressure coming from outside people?
I feel like in a lot of ways, it's been the positive aspect of that. Like, even if there is some pigeonholing or like, oh, this is what I'm going to expect. I don't know. I feel like there have been opportunities and doors that have opened because of Glinda on my resume or, you know, the embodiment of her. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm not yet in the post Glinda age.
We'll report back. We'll do another one in six months to hear Brittany's answer.
Circle back. Right. I think I have had a little bit of pushback in trying to audition for things that are more serious. I think people assume that when you play a character like this, that this is your actual personality and this is who you are. And I think all of us, we are very bright, funny people, and I think that they're very good about hiring people who that is a genuine part of their spirit, but also we're actors. And so there's a lot that we're putting on. And I have been turned down for auditions that I actually think, like, this character actually is a little bit more like Brittany. But they're like, oh, no, we've seen her in Wicked. This isn't the part for her. And it's like, oh, well, you've seen me play Glinda, but you haven't seen me play this character or play something that is more like myself. So that's been something that's interesting. And I'm sure I will figure out how to navigate that, as we both have beautifully. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm nervous to leave Oz. It's been a part of my life for so many years now. It will certainly be bittersweet. But
and your presence has been so and has been so important. Mm-hmm. And you know, you know the ride you've been on with so much publicity, and you're in the spotlight in so many ways. And it's an amazing thing that you are in this. We know that this role means a lot to young people. A lot of young ladies love this role an awful lot. Have you gotten to hear from some of these fans? Do you feel a responsibility to these fans for them to see the depth that maybe we don't know about Glinda going into it? Have you had that kind of correspondence that's moved you in any sort of way?
I think it's been really cool to just be a little bit more open about my own personal private life journey publicly, and how that is kind of, like I was saying before, like it sort of connects to Glinda's journey. And I think, yeah, I mean, I'm sure we all have all had these experiences with folks coming up to us after and expressing how much the show means to them, or the relationship between Glinda and Elphaba, I think specifically relates to, I mean, everyone, right? That's why For Good is just, you literally hear like in the audience as you're singing it, because it's like everybody's been on that ride with you and thinking about their own personal Elphaba or their own personal Glinda. So that's been really sweet. And I feel like I hold it as like a service, like, you know, if I'm nervous or tired or whatever, like I go back to like what we're doing is actually an act of service. We're there to serve the story, and we're there to serve the folks who are there with us in one room for this sacred 2 hours and 45 minutes together. So I feel like the audience aspect of it, like really, it helps ground me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, that's sacred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did a show right out of college sorry, go ahead, Brittany.
No, you go. I was just saying, yes, I agree.
Yes, and yes.
Yes, and.
I did a show right out of college that when there was kids at the stage door, I was like, oh no, you brought your kids to this? So I think getting to do Glinda was rewarding in so many ways, but it's a show that you can be proud to, you know, bring your 99-year-old grandmother to, or bring your 9-year-old to, and feel like there's something in this story for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not in a way that's pressured filled, but there is definitely a responsibility to, you know, to be an example to the people who love the show or love the role. And that's why all these Glinda girls, you know, we get letters and people that just look up to, like a lot of people that dream of doing this role and go, you did this, I want to do this too. And it's like, yes, do it, dream big, chase after it, don't stop.
Yeah. And that's, you are that. You have no idea how many kids who come in and out of that show see your performance, and it changes their life forever in a way that maybe some our lives have been changed.
And it changed our lives, so it's not hard to believe.
And it's been so interesting post COVID, because there isn't stage dooring anymore. And so I really have missed being able to connect with the audience after the show. It's hard. It's hard not being able to hear from them in that way, in a way that I don't think I realized that it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that especially on days when I'm tired and we're up in the bubble and we're waiting for the show to start, I peek over and I can see the front row.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking at how excited they all are, or if they're looking at their playbill, or if they're like looking up and they're like, oh, the dragon, you know, and the little kids, and it gives me so much energy. And it reminds me, like you said, Amanda Jane, like what we're doing is a service to people. It's a it really is a gift. It's a gift that we're giving, and it's a gift that we've been given. And I feel like, I do feel like there is a responsibility to uphold that. And especially since, for me personally, since I don't get to interact with fans and people in person, I feel like even on social media, I feel like that's my responsibility to uphold that, that level of being a role model, even
connection too.
Yeah.
Brittany, you were talking about being up in the bubble before the show, which is such a sacred time for Glenda's.
Mm-hmm.
Wiggle your toes and your shoes and be like, all right, I'm grounded here in this moment. But we talked about it briefly, but I thought it would be cool to share. I know you said you looked at Amanda Jane's note. Do you want to talk about that tradition?
I want to know about the tradition.
Oh, yeah. Do you know this, Ben?
No.
Tell us, Brittany.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So every time a Glenda departs Oz, she leaves a piece of paper. It's usually a note. Maybe it's a collage of photos with some encouraging words on it for the next Glenda. And it is tacked to the curtain. And so when you go up in the bubble, it's right there in front of your face. It's what you get to see every night before the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a lovely reminder of those, the person that came before you. And for me, I'm not going to cry again. Somebody else talk.
It's sweet. It actually started on, you know, like the piece of cardboard that pantyhose are wrapped around. I heard it started that like girls would like jot a note on that piece of pantyhose cardboard and just like safety pin it. But over the years, it's become a bit more elaborate. Jane, did you start the collage? Maybe she started the collage when I came
But Jenna Claire, you left me one for when I was there in February, and it amazing. So, and I'm telling you, it brought so much comfort. Yeah. So Katie Rose then did that for you, right?
So when I came, Katie Rose had left me a note, and then I left one for Amanda Jane, and then Amanda Jane left one for Brittany, and Brittany will leave one for the next Glenda.
I had no idea that that existed.
Yeah, That's really special.
It's so lovely. It's so special. And I'll tell what's on mine. I've got two pictures of my cats, and one of me and my mom, and one of me in the bubble dress, and of me as Glenda, and some really wonderful notes of encouragement, and a verse from Esther, honestly, I was overwhelmed enough on my first show, but then reading that, and the Bible verse that Amanda Jane put on there is, perhaps you were born for such a time as this.
Amen.
And every time I see it, it reminds me of the importance of this moment, not just for me, but for anyone who's out there, for anyone who has had a dream, and for whoever will be next. And honestly, I might put it on the next one too, because it's every moment of your life is important, and is a moment, and it'll go away, and enjoy that moment for what it is, and appreciate it for what it is, and then enjoy the next one. And I'm looking forward to framing it and putting it in my office here.
Wow. The longest time, the head carpenter, he kept all of them, and he has like a notebook of them, but he's no, you know, Mark was there for a long time, but so I don't know. So I don't have mine. He kept all of them and collected them as a scrapbook. But Brittany, I think that needs to be framed. And I think we all need a note, a letter of encouragement from Amanda Jane.
Yeah, girls, I'm on it. I really, that. Thank you for sharing that, Brittany, because I was putting it together and I was like, okay. And I just felt that so strongly to put that on there. And so I'm glad it's been an encouragement and just got me over here crying, because it's true.
We're going to have to weep our way out of this. I'm sorry. I know
we're all weepy now.
No, just the time has flown. I would love to talk to you three for the rest of time. I have a million more questions, but I have to let you go so you can live your lives. So we'll have to do a follow-up episode.
Let's do it. Yes, and Ben, congratulations on your Broadway World nomination. Everybody go vote for you.
Thank you very much. That's very I saw that you posted that. I was like, she is just the best. My God.
You're so good, Ben. Like, you're so good at this.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And you are all good at all of this. So
you're so good.
Oh my God, you're good, and you're good, and you're good, and also you. Thank you. Success, everyone. Listen to Amanda Jane's podcast. What's the name of the podcast, Amanda Jane?
A Time to Live with Amanda Jane Cooper.
Got it. Do it. Go see Britney before February what?
February 12th.
Before February 12th?
Yeah.
And if you haven't watched the Christmas Spectacular holiday, I'm saying the title wrong, Jenna Claire.
A Holiday Spectacular.
A Holiday Spectacular on the Hallmark Channel. It's amazing. Thank you all so much. And I'm sending you guys a lot of love and happy holidays. And thank you so much for joining us on the Broadway Cast.
Yay.
Ladies. A huge thank you to our amazing Glindas, Jenna Claire Mason, Amanda Jane Cooper, and Brittany Johnson. I am so in love with all of these ladies. They shoot straight from the hip and always from the heart. So thank you, ladies, for being here with us. All right, my friends, make sure you subscribe to our show. You can rate us, review us, and rate us in the high place. Share us with your friends. Follow us on social media at The Broadway Cast. Follow me at Ben Does Broadway. And as always, you can support us on Patreon to get exclusive behind-the-scenes content made just for you. All you got to do, click the link in the liner notes, and we're doing that for you as part of our Patreon family. Until next season, my friends, I'm your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, saying have a great show.